This morning's scripture actually is an interesting and a bit of a different type of scripture. So it comes from Paul's letter to the Hebrews. So you have to think that at this time, Christ has died and has been resurrected. And now Paul has taken on the task of saying to the Jewish people in Israel and the world, this is the Messiah that we have been waiting for. This is who it is that we have been talking about for thousands of years. That is a sell that is difficult because most of those Hebrews and Israelites saw Jesus or heard about Jesus while he was alive and didn't follow him. So to try to convince them after was an even bigger task. So what Paul's doing is sending this letter out to faithful communities in attempt to clarify some of who Jesus was and what that means. So what he's basically saying in this passage, right before the part that I'm going to read, is that what Jesus has done for us is complete. It's over. His sacrifice has been made. His death on the cross opens to us the gates of heaven and the forgiveness of sins and things that we've done wrong. And this is important to remember because Christianity isn't a cycle that goes round and round and always ends up back at the same place. It's a historical movement forward. Jesus was a moment in time. And our job is to look as Christians at what that meant in that moment and to continue that forward throughout all of time. So these are the words that Paul writes. "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." May God add a blessing to our hearing and understanding of these words. So when our third daughter, our third child, Audra, was in kindergarten, she had a most amazing teacher named Mrs. Miss. I don't know if any of your kids had her as well. I begged her to come to church today to hear this sermon, but she is in California where her own son is receiving an award for academic excellence in teaching, which is awesome. So Mrs. Miss was an amazing teacher. And one day, as would happen even in our lives, Audra and I had a difficult morning. And by the time we arrived at school, her normally big blue eyes were swollen and red, tears leaking from the edges, her nose runny, and every 4 or 5 seconds she made one of those crying, hiccuping noises. So she and I walked hand in hand into the classroom, and as usual, Audra stopped to say hello to Mrs. Miss, who was waiting at the door, and then Audra went in to hang up her backpack. But Mrs. Miss took a look at Audra and stooped down, wrapped Audra in a big hug, and then she took her by the hand and said, "Let's step out into the hall for just a moment." So she and Audra went out, and I could hear the conversation that went on. "Mrs. Miss, did you have a hard morning today, Audra?" Audra, "Yes." "Mrs. Miss, I have a thought. Whatever happened this morning has happened. It's over. You're at school now, and it's a new day here at Mill Hill. So why don't we just take a deep breath? And let's start this day all over again. And when you walk back into that classroom, whatever has happened before can be left out here in the hall, and you can have a happy day in there. What do you think? Audra, not really one for a lot of words, stood there looking at Mrs. Miss for a long moment, and then threw her arms around her and ran off to start the day all over again. That is a moment that is seared into my and Audra's memory. Let's just start the day all over again. So since then, we have thought of that story many times in our family, so much it's kind of become part of our family narrative. So join me. Let it become part of your narrative. Take a deep breath now. And let's just start this day all over again. I often wonder, what would our lives look like if we could live by those words? If when things go awry as they do, we just stopped, took a deep breath, and said those words to ourselves. Because, you know, it's not easy, because the one thing that is predictable about human beings is that we hold on tightly to things that are bothering us. We hold on tightly to mistakes that we've made that we just can't shake off. We hold on tightly to things that people have said to us that we just can't forget, so tightly that how many times in the shower do you relive the conversation coming up with much better things that you could have said? I know. I'm not creepily in your shower. I know. We do it. We hold on tightly to minor actions that we build in our minds to become major, major actions. And what about those emotions that just build up in us? That cause us to one day just snap at someone and then spend the rest of the day feeling pretty yucky about it. So what if we could develop a spiritual practice for when things go off the tracks, where our mantra is, let's just start this day all over again. Let's forgive what has already happened and move on into the future. Without that baggage, there's relief in that. There is a calm that comes with that. When we just put ourselves in other shoes and search for understanding from their point of view, why did they say that? Why did they do that? What's going on in their lives that might have led them to do that? Just let it go. Mrs. Miss gave that gift to Audra and then to our family, and so now I'm giving it to you. And it really is a great gift to receive. But you know what we've found in our family? For as nice as it was to be the receiver of that gift, and it is so much more awesome to be the giver of that gift. At those moments when you get to turn to someone in pain or who's angry or frustrated and just say to them, you know what, let's not argue. Let's just start this day all over again. Because at those times you won't just be speaking the words of Mrs. Miss or the Whitmore family mantra. You are speaking Jesus' message. You will be speaking God's message. And how kind would that be for this world at this time? And how welcome would that be? How healing and strengthening would it be for you to hear those words when your day is skidded off the tracks? The Dalai Lama once said, "Be kind whenever possible." And it's always possible. But like Jesus, he wasn't only speaking about being kind to others. That's the easy one, being kind to others. He was also talking about being kind to ourselves. As Paul mentioned last week's sermon, "Be ye kind" is the second shortest verse in the Bible, next to "Jesus wept." Short and simple, be ye kind. Just show kindness. We all know it's pretty easy most of the time to be kind to others. It's just not as simple to be kind to ourselves. You know, it's been said that if we ever treated other people the way we sometimes treat ourselves, we would never have any friends. So today we're going to do something completely different for sermon time. We are going to take this time to start the day all over again, but this time we're going to do it intentionally with God speaking to us. We are going to invite God into this day, into this moment, and allow ourselves to hear God's presence and to hear God's acceptance and to hear God's kindness and love. Because kindness to ourselves is also God's embracing of us. So you can close your eyes if you're that kind of person. You can focus on the cross or the communion table, or you can continue to look at me, whatever's comfortable for you. But I want you to hear, and this is a good insight to who I am. I'm an audio person, so I want you to hear God saying these words. You are forgiven. You are welcome. You are worthy. You are loved. You are my child. You are whole. And now hear God talking to you in these familiar words. The Lord is my shepherd. God saying, I am here to lead you. I shall not want. Don't worry. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Come with me, child. Rest a while. Look at the beauty of this world I have created for you. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I will never lead you astray. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, child, even when you are the most scared, I fear no evil. Don't be scared, for thou art with me. I am right here with you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. With all that I have and all that I am, I will protect you, my loved child. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I will be there with you in a big and extravagant way, even when you are surrounded by those who might want to do you harm. Thou anointest my head with oil. I will cover you with my whole being. My cup overflows because I have so much to give you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If you keep me with you, Your life will be good, and I will grant you mercy when things go wrong. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just stay with me, child. Stay with me now, and you will be with me even after death. Then the words of God in Isaiah, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I will wipe clean your slate because I need it to be clean, and I will not hold you to those things that you have done wrong. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. And then Jesus says to us, come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus straightened up and said to the crowd gathered, let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And he bent down, and he wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. And Jesus straightened up and said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, sir. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Let's just start this day all over again. Because here, this is the gift of the table in front of us. This is the gift of Christ's life. This is the gift of Christ's sacrifice. This is the gift of his resurrection. Things are not going quite the way you want them to. Life a little tough right now. Things a bit hard to manage. Jesus says, don't worry. Invite me in. I'm here. Everything is going to be okay. Come and sit down. Share this meal with me. Let me nourish your soul. Let's just start this day all over again. Together this time. So we come to this table. Not because we must, but because we may. And not because we are whole, but because in our brokenness, we get to feel God's healing love. So come now, for all things are prepared.
Our most loving God, we thank you that we are able to take this time to bask in your calm and silence. With that silence being filled with your Spirit, that we can feel in our hearts, that sometimes we feel as the love coming from one another, or just stillness and rest. We thank you for your calm because there is so much ahead of us. This week, appointments, meetings, doctor's visits, family commitments, fundraisers, elections. Not to mention our day-to-day lives. And so what a gift it is to be here and maybe sit next to a friend, family member, spouse, even just the space, and take refuge in your sanctuary and to feel sanctuary, safety, security, calm. And what a gift it is to be with others who understand your love for us, your care for us, your grace given to us so abundantly, generously, again and again. What a gift it is to exchange the noise and the activity of the world for the sounds of ringing bells and voices singing your glory. What a gift it is, God, to sit here in your presence, where the pretense of having to be somebody is set aside, because you know us, God. You know our thoughts and our intentions, sometimes even better than we allow ourselves to see it. No matter what we've done, no matter what we've said, no matter what we may have thought, nothing is hidden from you, and you love us through it all. While that may scare us at times, being known so well, what a relief it can be to be fully known, fully accepted, fully loved in this way. What a gift it is for you to understand that we're trying our best. And of course, sometimes we make mistakes. And of course, anger or disappointment sometimes leads us to say things or do things that we regret. And through all of that, God, as your children, you love us still. You love us because you loved us into being. You created us out of your love. And that continues. You made us so that you could look upon us and be joyful at your creation. And so help us to be that joy. Help us to be that love, your love in this world. Being loving, not such a burden. Help us to reach beyond ourselves, beyond our own wants and needs, and ask you, how can I best honor you, God, in all that I say and all that I do? And then help us to stop and to listen and to hear and to accept your communication to us in words or feelings and signals and the opportunities that come our way. And then give us the power so that your will and not our will be done. And all this we pray in the name and spirit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.